You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 10, Episode 6 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about seeking peace. Let's get started. In this series, we're looking at the true grace of God, as Peter talked about it in his first epistle. And as we're looking at this, we're not looking at grace the way the world describes it, but we're looking at it the way that Peter talked about it in 1 Peter. So in the sixth lesson in the series, we're going to talk about the importance of seeking peace. And as we're going to see, this is the duty of all those who would desire to be righteous. The verses we're going to look at are actually from two chapters. We're going to look at some verses in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. And then after we look at those, we'll go to chapter 4 and look at verses 7 through 11. But first, let's go to chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, "To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for this for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and to see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Now there in those verses, Peter quoted from Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16, to make the point that the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. Now, when we read that, we should ask the question, what does it mean to be righteous? Well, the root word of that is simply right. To be righteous is to be right, but not right by just any standard. This is right according to God's law. So who are the righteous? Well, they are the ones who are identified in this context. There are a lot of passages we can go to define what it means to be righteous and who it is that God determines is righteous. But as we look in this passage here that we just read, we can see that those who are righteous, one of the things that they are going to do is that they are going to seek peace with others. And so these things that we just read in verses 8 through 12, this is focused on seeking peace with others. If we are going to be righteous, if we're going to be right before God, we're going to seek peace with others. So he says there in verse 8, to sum up, all of you be harmonious. That word means to be of one mind, that we are to have the same mind with one another. We are to be united in thought and in spirit. We are to have unity. We are to be harmonious. He says, all of you be sympathetic. This is the idea of compassion. What Paul talked about in Romans 12 and verse 15, that we rejoice with those who rejoice, we weep with those who weep. Be compassionate, be sympathetic toward one another. Be brotherly, as he says there next. Love the brethren. This is one of the essential qualities that we are to have as Christians. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he will talk about the qualities that we are to add to our faith. Brotherly love is one of those qualities. Be brotherly. Be kind-hearted. And again, this is the idea of being compassionate or tender-hearted, as the word is described in other passages like Ephesians 4:32 and Colossians 3:12-15. Be tender-hearted toward others. Be humble, he says, in spirit. Humble in spirit at the end of verse 8. The idea of humility is that we are thinking of others ahead of ourselves. We're putting them ahead of us. And then he says in verse 9 that you are not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. Bless others instead of trying to get even with them. Do good to them instead. There are always going to be people who do things that we don't like. There are always going to be people who do things that will try to harm us or to do things in order to make us angry. whatever it is, there are always going to be people who will frustrate us, who will make us mad, instead of trying to get even. Because that's a never-ending battle. Instead of trying to get even, he says, you bless others instead of returning evil for evil. He says that we are to keep our speech from evil and deceit. Keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceit. As Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace. We are to always try to speak what is good and speak what is right and speak things that avoid or that are not qualified as evil or deceitful. Well, why are we doing all these things? Why are we trying to be harmonious or of one mind with others? Why are we being sympathetic or brotherly or kind-hearted or humble? Why do we bless instead of try to get even with someone when they do something to us? Why do we keep our speech true and good instead of engaging in speech that is evil and deceitful? The reason why we do these things is because we are striving to be at peace with others. He says there in verse 11, and this is the quote, one part of the quote from the psalm, he must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace with others. Now, as we're going to see as we get into the next chapter and the verses we're going to look at there, seeking peace and pursuing it does not mean that we compromise the truth. It does not mean that we ignore error or anything like that. But it does mean that as much as is in us, as Paul would talk about in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, we are to be at peace with all men. We are to seek peace and pursue it. The reason why we do this, as he says at the end of verse 9, that you might inherit a blessing. As he says in verse 12, quoting from the psalm, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. The righteous are the ones who are trying to seek peace with others. This is what we need to be doing. And so with this in mind, these are the qualities that we are to have. This is why we're to have these characteristics. We are trying to seek peace. We go to the next chapter, in chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 11. And this is also in the same context of seeking peace. In the next episode, we're going to talk about the verses that fall in between these verses, because he's going to switch to a different topic about suffering as a Christian. But here in these verses here, he's talking about seeking peace. Well, how do we seek peace? Well, as we get back to that topic in chapter 4 and verse 7, we're going to see that we have some responsibilities in order to carry this out or in order to pursue peace with others. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7, he says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So as we think about this idea of seeking peace with others, and this is the responsibility of those who are righteous, we look at what Peter says in these verses. He begins the section in verse 7 by saying we are to be of sound judgment and sober spirit. Sound judgment means that we are thinking as we ought to think. We are thinking as in a way that is pleasing to God. We are trusting in Him and trusting in His ways and trusting that He is right. We're not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, as we're warned about in Romans 12 and verse 3. Be of sound judgment. Be of sober spirit. As we saw in chapter 1 and verse 13, where he said, keep sober in spirit. We talked about what that means, that we are calm and collected, that we are able to control our emotions, which is important because, as we're going to see in another lesson, in chapter 5 and verse 8, we are to be of sober spirit and on the alert because our adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Well, also, when we think about this idea of seeking peace, we need to be of sober spirit. We need to not allow our emotions to take it or to get control of us, that we are not able to react in a way that is proper toward others. Those times where someone does something against us, when someone does something to harm us, we are not to return evil for evil. We are to keep calm and collected. We are to be of sober spirit. But notice what Peter also says there in chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, for the purpose of prayer. Now, I might wonder, well, how is this related? Well, in chapter 3 and verse 7, he talked about the possibility that one's prayers can be hindered. He says in chapter 3 and verse 7, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. When we pray to God, Philippians 4 and verse 6 says we pray to make our requests known to God. And we have the assurance from 1 John 5 verses 14 and 15 that God's will is going to be done. You know, we might think when we pray and we make requests of God, then we want God to just give us whatever we request. God's ways and His will is higher than ours. We need to trust in Him, and His will is going to be done. And so we need to be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. We need to be aligning our thinking with God's thinking, that we're not just thinking about what we desire, what we want, and all of these things that feed what our selfish desires are. But instead, we are to be of sound judgment. We are to be of sober spirit. This is for the purpose of prayer, that our prayers would not be hindered, that we might be able to offer that effective prayer of a righteous man, as James 5 at verse 16 says. That's the prayer that's in harmony with the will of God. So in all of this, with the prayers that we offer, with the things that we do, and how we conduct ourselves in our life, everything needs to be aligned with the will of God. So in verse 7 here, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. And then he talks about how we are to love the brethren. Verse 8, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Fervent in love. Part of our obedience to the truth, chapter 1 and verse 22, which we talked about earlier in an earlier lesson, that we, on obeying the truth, we do that out of a sincere love for the brethren. But then he says that love covers a multitude of sins. How does it do that? Well, it's important that we understand how it does that. It's not by overlooking sins. Overlooking sins is not covering a multitude of sins. Instead, James 5 and verse 20 answers that question for us, where he says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. How are we covering sins? Not by ignoring them, but by turning someone away from their sins. Be fervent in love for one another, so that you can turn people back to the truth who have departed from it. Be fervent in love. Be hospitable toward one another, as he says there in verse 9. And he says, do this without complaint. Don't do this grudgingly. Don't think that, well, we're only helping people because we have to help people. Do this without complaint. Serve one another. As it says there in verse 10, serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We recognize how God has blessed us, and now we are seeking to do good to others. But then we get to verse 11, and it says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. We have a divine obligation when we speak about things that pertain to God, when we speak about things of a spiritual nature. We have to speak as the oracles of God, another translation says. We are to speak the very words of God. And the only way we can do this is by appealing to the scriptures, by going to book, chapter, and verse and showing why it is we believe what we believe, why we teach what we teach, and why we are calling on people to heed what we are saying. Because it's not our opinion, but it is the word of God. And in all of this that we're talking about, we are to pursue peace. Well, how does speaking as the oracles of God? There are a lot of people who don't want to hear the word of God. How does speaking as the oracles of God, how is that part of pursuing the things that make for peace? Well, the gospel is described in Ephesians 6 and verse 15 as the gospel of peace. The gospel and preaching the gospel leads people to have peace with God and, as a result, peace with one another. And this is all part of this righteousness that we talked about. We are to be righteous. We are to be pleasing to God. We are to seek peace. And we do that by turning people from sin, showing love for them, and speaking the truth to them. So the Lord wants us to be righteous. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. Well, how do we be righteous? We conform our thoughts and our words to God's will. And part of doing that is seeking peace with others and being fervent in our love for them.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
These lessons are based on a sermon series that I presented at the Eastside Church of Christ in Morgantown, Kentucky. If you would like to hear this sermon that corresponds with the episode that we just went through today and goes into a little bit more depth than what we did here, the link is available in the show notes so you can check out the audio from the church's website and it goes into more detail than what we did here. Next week, we're going to be talking about suffering as a Christian. Until then, I hope you have a great week.